There's a description of God's people that popped up several times in the Bible. It's the adjective stiff-necked, an interesting way to describe the stubbornness of God's people. I'm guessing that it points to their unwillingness to bow down their lives in worship to God. I wonder, do you know anyone like that? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're heading into the final message in this series, Overboard with Jesus, talking about full-on surrender, sacrifice, and worship. It's a really important message, so do stick with me. And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be sharing something truly special with you to help you live in victory on those days when the daily grind of life just seems to be grinding away at you more than it should be. We live in a world where we're taught to be proud of who we are. You can be who you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. If you work hard, you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. And when you do, be proud of what you've achieved. The problem is, though, that pride so often comes before the fall. I remember when I was a young lad learning to ice skate. Now, physical coordination, it's not one of my strengths. So my bottom spent a lot of time making contact with the ice. And you know, every time I thought, there you go, Bernie, you've got it, you're doing really well, and I'd look over at Mum and Dad to show them how clever I was, whoompa, down on the ice I'd go. Pride is actually quite a terrible thing. It's something that God always, always, always opposes. James chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. But pride takes all sorts of different forms. As we chatted last week on the program, sometimes pride stops us from admitting that we're wrong. The more you invest in a course of action or in a way of life, the harder it is to admit that it was the wrong way to go about living life. I mean, you've invested a lot in your approach. People have watched you, some have admired you. To turn back from that, to turn away from that, to admit that you were wrong, well, you lose face, don't you? Losing face is only a problem if you care what other people think about you. I used to care a lot what other people thought about me. Well, I wanted them to think well of me. I wanted to impress people. I wanted them to speak well of me behind my back. When you think about it, that's why some people buy the most expensive cars that they can afford to make a statement. That's why some people buy grand houses in grand suburbs with so much space and so many rooms that they don't need and swimming pools that they don't swim in to make a statement that says, look at me, I am someone, I've made it. Not everyone, but a lot of people are like that. Never mind that they're desperately unhappy in their flashy cars and grand mansions. And even if you're not rich, you can find yourself clamoring after a successful career or a bigger paycheck or a promotion, whatever it is, to build up the image that other people have of you. And when you do that, let me tell you from experience, because all the things I've just described, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, you realize. When you do that, you start believing your own propaganda. You get a puffed up image of who you are and what you're worth as you look down your nose at the mere mortals who surround you. Moses is up on the mountain with God receiving the Ten Commandments. Have a listen to this. Exodus chapter 32 verses 1 to 9. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him." Aaron said to them, "Well, take off the gold rings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took from them the gold, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. But the Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation.'" Isn't that what we do? We say that we believe in God, but left to our own devices, we become stiff-necked, prideful. We make idols of the things of this world, and the more we chase after them, the less inclined we are to bow down our lives to God. And when that happens, God's anger burns against us. Let's get a revelation about that today. Yes, God loves you. But when you're more inclined to chase after the things of this world than bow down your life to worship Him, in His eyes, you've become stiff-necked and His anger burns against you. We're in the middle of a series of messages at the moment called Overboard with Jesus, about living our lives full on for Christ. But so often our pride, well, we delude ourselves into thinking that we can put God on a leash and have Him follow us around to do our beck and call. But if you want to live your life full on for Christ, that's not the way to live. Who or what is your golden calf? Who or what in your life, in your possessions, in your priorities, are you putting before God? You see, the alternative is to have a heart like the psalmist who wrote Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand." There's a man with his life bowed down to God. You can't call him stiff-necked. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Hey, life can be hard work some days, and as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory over our sin, over our circumstances. Victory. That's why every video message that we produce here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. The daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching messages, and even some in-the-moment, close-to-the-action videos that I shoot every now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at christianityworks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move through even just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. After all, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen? So I'd love to encourage you too to live your life in victory. Again, the web address of our YouTube channel is christianityworks.tv. Now let's head straight back into the Word of God, because honestly, He's always up to something good in our lives. Come on, let's be honest. None of us likes to give up the things that we like. I remember when our children were young, Saturdays were a day of racing around, doing this, doing that, taking them to sport and all the other things that they had going on. I mean, I'm someone who works pretty hard, so come the weekend, I'd really love to just put my feet up. But there was this running around with the kids. The lawn had to be mowed, the car had to be washed. All I wanted to do was rest, but that's what it is, right? And you mothers, you know that being a mum is simply a life of sacrifice. Children demand so much attention and effort and time and emotional energy and sheer hard work. You pour yourself into them. It's a life of sacrifice. In fact, pretty much anything worthwhile in life requires sacrifice. Studying, getting a degree, learning a trade, bringing up children, saving money, building a career, they all involve sacrifice. So what exactly is sacrifice? Have you ever thought about that? Well, my friendly online dictionary comes up with a variety of definitions, but the most appropriate one is to give up something that you value for the sake of other considerations. You work hard to grow your business at the expense of your social life, for instance. Sacrifice always involves giving something up, something that you want now, in order to have something better later. And it seems that you and I are prepared to make all sorts of sacrifices to get the things in this world that we want. The question, though, is whether you and I are prepared to make the sacrifices that are required to get God what He wants in this world. Well, are we? Before the break, we had a look at that powerful, pivotal passage in Romans chapter 12. Let's get back there because it's quite illuminating, but this time we'll read a bit more of the chapter. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to you. Now, I remember one of my lecturers back in Bible college telling me that whenever you find a therefore in Scripture, you have to ask yourself, what's the therefore there for? Good question, because here Paul, who's writing the letter to the church in Rome, begins this chapter for us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, a strong appeal when you think about it, with a therefore. Well, what's the therefore there for? See, Paul is pointing back to the first 11 chapters of this letter, which are all about the amazing sacrifice that Jesus has made for us so that we can be saved from the wrath of God because of our sin. For example, back in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, in view of the mercies of God, therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. Now, at this point, I need to point out that when people back in the first century AD heard that word sacrifice, they couldn't help but think of the other meaning of the word sacrifice that I find in my dictionary, which is this: an act of slaughtering an animal or a person, or surrendering a possession as an offering to a deity. Specifically, they're thinking about the relatively recent sacrifice of Jesus on that Roman cross back in Jerusalem, something that happened about 50 or 60 years earlier by all accounts. They're thinking about the many stories that they've heard about Jesus, innocent of any sin or crime, being nailed to a cross to save them from the wrath of God. A pretty picture it ain't in their minds as they read the words of the Apostle Paul, who was there at the time of the crucifixion, sitting as they are in the relative comfort and wealth of Imperial Rome. What they're hearing as Paul's letter is read out is that God is calling them to a life of incredible sacrifice, something that's already becoming obvious to them through the rising persecution and martyrdom of Christians in the Roman Empire. If you've ever been to Rome, you may have seen the catacombs, the huge underground tunnels where the Christians hid. I hear people talk about living their lives for Jesus, but they want to do it from the comfort of their armchair. In many places today, in many societies, in many churches, there is so much comfort, there is so much wealth, that the notion of sacrifice is a foreign one. But what of the woman who wrote to me recently, "My husband has been extremely cruel to me since Mother's Day." What does she do? Does she up and leave him? No, she goes to God and asks Him to protect her, asks Him to change her husband, asks Him to heal their marriage. That's what she did. In this world, in this day and age, the obvious solution would have been separation and divorce. But this woman has taken a different route. She's made a different choice. She takes seriously the scripture that says in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And that hope doesn't disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Conventional wisdom, the world's wisdom, says run away from suffering. You're entitled. You deserve it. You're worth it. And yet the Bible is filled with some hard truths about suffering. Back to this woman's lot. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Wives, in the same way, accept the authority of your husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by their wives' conduct when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Don't adorn yourselves outwardly by braiding your hair and wearing gold ornaments or fine clothing. Rather, let your adornment be the inner self with a lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. It was in this way long ago that the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by accepting the authority of their husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You have become her daughters as long as you do what is good and never let fear alarm you. We want to throw those bits of the Bible out. They're politically incorrect. They're unfair. They're irrelevant in this day and age. And yet God's truth remains God's truth. Even though the more comfortable and affluent our world becomes, we've had lies dropped on our heads that tell us it's all about us. Jesus, the same Jesus who suffered and died for you on that cross, Jesus is calling you to a life that involves sacrifice. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Life has its ups and downs, right? But Jesus made an extraordinary promise. He said that he came that we might have life in all its abundance, literally, a super abundant life. Yet not everyone who believes in him is living that life. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest booklet, Laying Hold of Your Abundant Life. And with a life application question at the end of each chapter, you'll be able to chew things over to really apply God's word right into the realities of your life. Because come on, God's word is alive and active, amen? So I'm praying that he'll help you discover and live the abundant life that he has for you through this booklet. You can request your free copy at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. But this is the very last week that it'll be available, so don't miss out. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, let's get back into God's Word. Okay, so how do you worship God? More recently, I guess, as many, if not most, churches have moved to contemporary worship, the songs have become more upbeat. Many churches use lighting and wall banners and logos and contemporary furnishings, not to mention extremely professional music teams to help their people worship. It's easy to be critical of all that, but there's nothing new in any of that. Go and visit any old cathedral, and there are plenty of them scattered across Europe, and you realize that we've been going to huge lengths to express our awe and wonder of God for a very long time. But to tell you the truth, maybe it's just me, a lot of those external trappings leave me just a bit cold. It's not that I don't appreciate great ecclesiastical architecture or Handel's Messiah or some of the great hymns and some of the great worship songs that have been written more recently. But I've been in places that have all that and more. And yet the best way to describe them is dead. It's as though God isn't in that place. It's as though sometimes we try to conjure up God's presence by designing, by building, by performing. I remember just before I graduated from Bible college, we had a graduands retreat day. About 40 of us who were graduating together with a few of our lecturers and tutors. We headed off to a church building in a leafy suburb away from distractions just to spend a day fellowshipping and praying and, well, worshipping. The guy who led worship had a scratchy voice. His guitar was slightly out of tune, and yet it remains to this day the most awesome time of song worship that I've ever experienced. We're heading towards the end of a series today, a series that I've called Overboard with Jesus. It sort of began around that great passage of Scripture where Peter gets out of the boat and walks towards Jesus on the stormy ocean of Tiberias. Let's go back and have a quick read just to remind ourselves. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." So Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But then he noticed the strong wind. He became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So there's good old Pete stuck in a boat with his mates on the Sea of Tiberias. They're a long way from home, the boat's being battered by waves, the wind's against them, remembering that this was Jesus' decision for his disciples. And when Jesus finally comes out to rescue them, the disciples are petrified until he identifies himself. And within a split second, Peter, who, remember, is a fisherman, he knows these waters, he's sailed them many a time, he knows the danger of this storm. But despite that, within a split second, he says to Jesus, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you out in the water." Here's what I believe. What was going on in Peter's heart in that instance is worship. Because in that moment, Peter is prepared to connect his faith in Jesus with his actions, with his life, with what he's about to do. Peter is prepared to step onto that stormy sea to follow Jesus. There are two different words used for worship in the New Testament. One is the word proskuneo, from which we get the English word to prostrate yourself. It's the sort of worship we do on Sunday mornings when we're singing songs in church. It's bowing down and declaring with our hearts, with our mouths, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's awesome stuff. Although, as I said, you can sing songs without worshiping God. I've seen people checking their watches, looking around to see who's coming in late or who's leaving early, scrolling through social media on their smartphones during worship time. In that case, worship is a complete misnomer. It's just singing. But if your heart is engaged, then yes, that's what's going on there. It's proskuneo worship, bowing down before the throne of God. Awesome stuff. Whether it's a guy with a scratchy voice on an out-of-tune guitar, or whether it's a full-on rock concert, the trappings are pretty much irrelevant. The other word, and we looked at this one before the break, is latreo, from which we get the word lateral. In other words, outward, lateral worship through what we do, how we live, how we behave, how we spend our money, how we spend our time. Many times, this word is translated as service rather than worship. There's one verse in the New Testament where both words are used in that single verse. It's Jesus replying to the second temptation in the wilderness. He says, and I quote, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Luke chapter 4, verse 8. So here's the question for you today. As you live out your life, are you living it all for Jesus? Are you worshiping him with everything that you think and say and do. Because truthfully, stepping out of that boat onto the stormy ocean is worship. It's living out the proskuneo worship that's in our hearts as latreo worship in our lives. Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus in a rich, dynamic relationship with Him. So if you'd like to go even deeper, then let me encourage you to stop by and explore ChristianityWorks.com, where you'll find a wealth of messages on all sorts of different subjects straight out of God's Word and conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. There's so much there for you. Your free subscription to our daily fresh devotional, so you can receive a powerful scripture and some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement each day by subscribing to Fresh. And remember, we would love to pray for you. Just click on the powerful prayer icon towards the bottom of the homepage. Everything at ChristianityWorks.com is free, including that e-booklet I mentioned earlier. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life to help you be all He made you to be. So go on, head across to ChristianityWorks.com and be blessed. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.